The Clare Byrne Show on News Talk
with Aviva Insurance.
We return now to what's happening in the Middle East, because you may have heard this morning the Iranian regime has chosen the son of the now deceased Ayatollah Ali Khamenei as the country's new supreme leader. The succession plan was announced in a lengthy statement last night, and the US President Donald Trump has previously dismissed Mujtaba Khamenei as a lightweight and has insisted that he should have a say in the new leader's appointment. We've also heard that the price of crude oil headed above $100 for the first time in years in the midst of continued conflict in the Middle East. Nega Anna is the former senior advisor at the US Department of State and the White House National Security under President Biden, and is currently visiting fellow at King's College London and joins us now. You're very welcome to the programme.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
So your view, firstly, of the decision to install now the former supreme leader's son, how do you expect that to impact this ongoing conflict?
I mean, look, it tells us two things. First, the regime itself is prioritizing some form of continuity and internal cohesion under this pressure of war. It wants to show that the system remains intact, both domestically and internationally. But it's a choice that reads as hardline continuity, right? It's right now it's quite politically sensitive. It shows something that both Khomeini and Khamenei essentially were against this dynastic succession. They were, they had issues with the monarchy and how it would the hierarchy of transition. And you're seeing it play out right now with Khamenei's son. But what they're trying to say is that given all the circumstances, all the trauma that the nation is enduring, that they are maintaining continuity. Mujtaba Khamenei was behind the scenes in his entire sort of professional adult life, but behind the scenes, he was a power player with the IRGC. So again, it just shows that they are in survival mode and want to maintain continuity. Mm-hmm. I think it's a double front on the Trump administration, however, because it's showing to that Tehran's succession move is basically telling Washington, we're not collapsing into concessions with you. But secondly, as you mentioned at the top, oil above $100 is the fastest way for a regional war to become a domestic problem in the United States, right? Inflation, consumer prices, all ahead of U.S. midterm elections. And the Iranian regime is paying attention to U.S. domestic politics. They're playing with it. So this is a huge pivot in this conflict.
Yep. And I'm sure the Iranians are looking very closely at domestic politics, as you say. But you would wonder whether the increase in oil prices is part of the Iranian strategy or unavoidable, given that the oil refineries were targeted, as we understand, over the weekend by the Americans and the Israelis.
I mean, I would say it's, quite frankly, it's both. I think in terms of Iran's escalation plan, they were looking at it according to three tracks. It was direct state to state. So it was the strikes that we've been seeing across the region and across the U.S. bases and facilities within the region. So showing a longer campaign. But then there was the regional spillover that they've been playing. And the third is the economic escalation. Not only the oil, but, disruption around choke points, whether it's, where the shipping lanes are to, energy infrastructure components. So This is part of their game, but vice versa, too. In addition to, the U.S. also playing the same game. They gave India a waiver to buy oil from Russia less than a week ago, right? So pivoting India's sort of purchase of Iranian oil now to Russia, obviously making Russia quite happy. But that U.S. Treasury waiver just occurred. So they're all playing in the same spaces. It's 3D chess, but it's multiple 3D chess games taking place.
Multiple 3D chess. And can you explain to us, because it's very difficult to figure out why the Americans went in when they did. It might be easier to answer why the Israelis wanted this to happen. But for America, who have given numerous reasonings, you know, logics around regime change, feeling under threat, we got him before he got me. Why did they do what they did right now?
I think, you know, the Trump administration's sort of public framing has essentially combined nuclear demands, especially certain no enrichment, with the broader narrative about changing Iranian behavior. I think, you know, he had articulated some, you know, concerns, not only, again, from the JCPOA negotiations that he backed out of from 2015. You know, since then, he's been articulating, at least the rhetoric, that he's able to achieve a better plan. So there's some elements within that. But after the protests at the beginning of the year in Iran, he essentially provided a kind of a broad statement that alluded to supporting the Iranian people and regime change. I think, you know, all previous U.S. administrations have cautiously walked this line. You know, in theory, of course, everyone supported it, but in practice, they understood the volatility, not only in the region, but how complicated it would be to engage in such an action in Iran. So, you know, the challenge in any conflict is whether the objective is limited or it's maximalist, right? In this case, you know, the limited is coercion for a deal. Maximalist is breaking the regime. They're not the same wars. They don't have the same timelines, same cost, the same end game. So it's a bit unclear how the Trump administration is maneuvering in sort of what they're trying to achieve at this point. I thought last week, when he articulated, you know, the three buckets, but didn't give weight to either bucket, so nuclear, ballistic missiles, and regime change, it felt like, you know, he was going to make an attack and then find a diplomatic off-ramp quite quickly so he doesn't get sucked into a forever war. But it's unclear right now, to be quite frank.
It certainly is. Nega, thank you for the benefit of your expertise. Nega Anga there, who's a visiting fellow at King's College London.
The Clare Byrne Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekday mornings at 9 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.